Well, the subversion of democracy is alive and well in the United States, and look no further than the Hamilton 68 dashboard, which helped create dozens of fake stories in major media outlets to sway American elections. It accused conservatives, of course, of trafficking in Russian disinformation. All of that has been largely debunked now, and Biden, of course, is now president of the United States, or somebody is president of the United States. Biden is there, but somebody's clearly running the United States. So did it actually work? Well, now a whistleblower has come forward to detail her employer's role in helping to create disinformation that could be uploaded and spread on this Hamilton 68 dashboard. Our next guest broke this story and spoke to this whistleblower. Paul Thacker wrote a deep dive story on his Substack about this, which we'll have linked up below. And investigative journalist Paul Thacker joins us now for the first time on Redacted. Paul, great to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I think maybe first, before we get into Betsy, which is the whistleblower you spoke to, maybe it would be instructive for our audience if you could explain a little bit about how Hamilton 68 as this dashboard, what did it actually do? How did it function?
So I didn't follow the stories when they came out in, like, you know, 2015, 2016. I first learned about Hamilton 68 when Matt Taibbi wrote about it. He wrote about it because he'd gone to Twitter like me. He had some internal documents where people at Twitter were saying that this Hamilton 68, which was supposedly tracking Russian disinformation, was total nonsense. The algorithm didn't actually function. It was actually calling Americans, you know, Russian bots, when they were just normal Americans expressing things on Twitter. And so he uncovered that whole issue through these internal Twitter emails with Yoel Roth, who was at Twitter at the time, dismissing Hamilton 68. And then what the fallout of that actually was, of course, is a lot of people denied that they had done what they had done. And then also the Washington Post put out a press release that they had made corrections to around 8 or 9 stories that either referenced or used data from Hamilton 68. So the whole thing was complete nonsense created by a bunch of sort of, you know, lefty aligned, DNC aligned nonprofits.
And then when this thing started to explode and we started to realize how this was all put together, there were, of course, a bunch of different organizations sort of feeding this Hamilton 68 dashboard with sort of fake information. So you spoke to a whistleblower named Betsy, a former New Knowledge employee who worked on Hamilton 68. First of all, why did she decide to come and speak out? And then maybe you can talk about her role at New Knowledge and what she discovered.
Well, what happened to her was when she took a job at New Knowledge, she knew that they were doing this, you know, disinformation stuff. It's not something she knew about. She worked on, like, what's called, like, front end of software programs. So there's back end people who do a lot of the really difficult algorithm stuff. And there's people who do, like, the front end, which is the, you know, the part where people like you and I interact with the software, right? So, like, that you and I can use software to do different things for us. She's a front end designer. And this thing, Hamilton 68, had been created by people at New Knowledge, a guy named Jonathan Morgan, and they had gotten 12 months of funding from the Center for American Progress to update it, make it nicer, that they could then sell out as a product to other people. And that was her job, to create this front end and make it nicer. She eventually left New Knowledge because they began to engage in disinformation, something which they had told her they were never going to do. And then she put it all together, like, years later. She didn't realize at the time it was happening while she was working there. And then she put it all together later when these articles came out in the New York Times, you know, and the Post about what New Knowledge was doing, which is they had engaged in a disinformation campaign in an Alabama Senate election.
Can you walk us through what exactly they were putting out, what fake information they were putting out, this disinformation?
Sure. So New Knowledge had been paid for, and it's always very unclear. It's always very gray, of course, because this is disinformation. So it's designed to disinform you. And the people who are experts in it, you know, that's what they do, is they create disinformation. But what had happened in Alabama is New Knowledge and these other groups had worked together to create Russian bots that began to track a guy running for Senate in Alabama. And then that created a storyline that, aha, he is part of a Putin-Russian disinformation campaign. But he never was. It was actually created by Democratic Party, you know, operatives.
Fascinating. How does this tie together with what John Podesta was doing, of course, and trying to distract, I think, most Americans from the Hillary Clinton email servers, right? And then we get this Steele dossier, We get, of course, this massive push to try to discredit Donald Trump, his connection to Vladimir Putin, Russian disinformation, John Podesta, the Steele dossier. How is all of that connected?
Well, I think it's connected in that we know that, you know, Center for American Progress, they're a left of center think tank, lobby shop. They ran Hillary Clinton's campaign. They then, you know, helped to put together and push out the Steele dossier. And when Betsy DePuy was working on upgrading the Hamilton 68 project, that was being paid for by Center for American Progress. They got 12 months of funding with it. It involved a guy from Think Progress, which was the news site at Center for American Progress, someone at the German Marshall Fund, a guy who'd worked with Brookings. So all these kind of, you know, left of center aligned groups, they were all using this idea of Russian disinformation, right, to tag and target people they didn't like, you know, mostly Republicans. You know, I asked her specifically, do they go after Bernie Sanders peoples, you know, because that was also, you know, that's a theme also now, is that, you know, if you don't support right now, if you don't support more funding for Ukraine, then you're Russian disinformation, whether you're left or right, right?
Right.
So it's basically, I think the people in power, what I like to explain it is, it's DNC-aligned, left-of-center corporate Democrats. And if you stray to the left, if you stray to the right, they're going to come after you and call you Russian disinformation. So there's this idea out there that it's conservatives being attacked, but that's not true. It's everybody that's being attacked. Anyone who's not aligned themselves with the Democratic Party, you know, the Biden administration, they're going to be called Russian disinformation.
And can you give a few examples of things that obviously started floating around as a direct result of perhaps her time at New Knowledge? I know you said it's sort of a gray area, but when we talk about Hamilton 68 and sort of the flood of fake posts that were showing up, whether it was on Facebook or Twitter or even just suppressing other information, what sort of pieces of information were sort of being used and pushed out there to discredit and discredit conservatives?
Well, what Hamilton 68 was being used for, it was being used as a venue for reporters to come along and say, hey, here's this independent group that's tracking Russian disinformation. Here's what they found. And then you see stories start to appear. So like I said, you know, there were several stories that have been corrected now in the Washington Post. I noticed when Matt first came out with his story about Hamilton 68 last year, there were a ton of them that appeared in Mother Jones. Some of them are on national TV. Jonathan Morgan went on CBS News, the guy who ran New Knowledge, to talk about Russian disinformation. So it wasn't just like on social media. This stuff was used to create sort of facts that you could then use to roll into news stories that would come out and then target Republicans or anyone who the Democratic Party didn't like.
What was the connection with the three-letter agencies, the FBI, the CIA, in this Hamilton 68 dashboard?
Well, I'm not sure if there was any directly there that we know of exactly. You know, it's kind of one step removed. So a lot of people who put it together are at this, you know, thing called the German Marshall Fund, which takes, you know, State Department funding and other groups. But while the final straw for Betsy DePuy when she was at New Knowledge was they started off, she had thought it was originally going to be for like corporations. So corporations are being attacked. We're going to sense these disinformation campaigns to attack your products or your brand, and we're going to help you deal with that. So what she found out, though, is the company began to hire NSA people.
Sort of like review bombing, right? Like if a competitor was going to go up and like review bomb their competitor, help protect you from that, like terrible Amazon reviews and stuff like that. That sounds pretty noble, right?
Activist groups, you know, whoever it might be, whether right or wrong. But what she found out was that the company started to change. They took on a co-founder who'd come from the NSA. And then they began hiring a bunch of NSA people. And by the time she had left, I think there'd been something like 11 former NSA people who joined New Knowledge. And then they got a grant from the Department of Defense to create automated disinformation for elections. And this automated disinformation, they'd already tested it in Alabama and it had been successful. And so now they got a grant from the Department of Defense to do automated disinformation. And she said it was targeted at American elections. And that to her was too much. I asked her at the time, I was like, if I was at a company and they were getting grants or a contract to do election disinformation, the first thing I'd be doing is calling a friend of mine who knows election law. I'm like, are we breaking the law? Like, what's going on here? She didn't really understand those things. she was just very concerned about like what her job was doing. They had offered her equity stake in the company, and she was looking at what the company was doing, and she was saying, we're going to destroy our reputation. And that's, of course, what happened. New Knowledge is gone. It became Yonder, became bought by another company. All these, you know, companies move around. They change names.
So that's what I was going to get you out of here on this question, Paul, which is, you know, is New Knowledge still there? Are there pieces of it that still exist? And is Hamilton 68, this dashboard, still up and operational in some capacity? I find it very hard to believe that these things disappear into the ether and then they're done. We're going to look back on this 20 years from now. Can you believe what they did in the 2020 election? Good thing we've totally changed in the United States. Is this stuff still working?
Oh, it's still out there. The Post reporter who covered this, he went on NPR, and I saw his interview, and it was great what he said. He's like, the only thing I know what happened with this whole entire, you know, election disinformation campaign that New Knowledge ran in Alabama is that everyone denies what they did. No one seems to know that they were involved. The one person I think that's most interesting out of all of this is Renee DiResta. She went from New Knowledge. She's now an academic at Stanford. She's considered a disinformation scholar at Stanford University. She was involved in the Project Alabama, Project Birmingham in Alabama, the election disinformation campaign. And she's now quoted regularly in, you know, in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, as an expert on disinformation. So it's not harmed her career. She's moved up.
That's how you get promoted. I mean, this is the same thing. Yeah, I mean, Nina Jankowicz, you know, you fall on your feet and you get elevated and you get promoted in these positions. Right. It's unbelievable. You get impeached, you get promoted in the United States. I said I was going to get you out of here a second ago, but I'm curious now. It seems like this strategy has morphed less so maybe about disinformation, maybe more now about censorship in a way. I mean, we're certainly seeing the big tech company collusion, of course, with the government. We're seeing, you know, YouTube coming out, revising their policies a few weeks ago to talk specifically about campaign, the 2024 campaign. They're going to be targeting and downranking content which doesn't come from places like CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. And they're going to really removing independent media, independent journalists and stuff like that. So it seems like, has this morphed into more of a censorship industrial complex than a disinformation industrial complex?
Whenever I see academic disinformation researcher, I call that censorship research. It's all about providing a sort of patina of academic gloss to provide cover for government agencies or big tech companies to censor us. And what you said exactly, this is the one thing we haven't even talked about very much, because we haven't cracked it all. How are people getting ranked on Google? I can tell you right now, all the Substacks out there, they're not even like cataloged on Google. I don't even know your show, but I know your show is gonna be hard to find on Google. Anyone who is not at one of the big companies that's willing to line up behind the Democratic Party, they're gonna find that you can't find their information, their show, or anything that they have on Google. And that's one of the biggest things I think they're doing, is they're trying to control what we find when we go looking for information.
Well, we certainly have heard from the United Nations and the World Economic Forum about owning Google search results and being able to suppress and push down information further in the algorithm. So this doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, good luck trying to find our show. I mean, Paul, just to be clear, they unsubscribe people from our show on YouTube, and we have 3 million viewers that watch our show. And people routinely every month tell us that YouTube unsubscribes them from our channel. Right. Like, they didn't choose to be unsubscribed. YouTube takes it upon themselves to tell you shouldn't be watching this. And then they will recommend CNN videos in its place. It'll show up in the right sidebar as CNN videos for them to watch. So
I mean, every time I see someone now on Twitter talking about how their YouTube got taken down or their show has been whatever, I'm like, my first response is, why are you even trying to be on YouTube anymore?
Yeah, right.
I mean, just to let you know, for my newsletter, right? I mean, I'm an award-winning journalist, investigative journalist. I cannot have an Instagram for my newsletter. I had a volunteer who wanted to create an Instagram. It was just like, you know, here's the next title, here's whatever. Instagram kept taking it down, and finally I couldn't have Instagram anymore. There's certain sites, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. It's like, don't even bother.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we, you know, we're on Rumble, of course. We're on X as well. We simulcast on all those platforms. And, you know, there'll be times when, hey, we tell people, all right, the next story, we cannot do this on YouTube. So good night, YouTube audience. We're going to move over to Rumble and we're going to tell you what happened with COVID. You know, so it's a, you know, it's unbelievable, the censorship industrial complex. Well, we will have your Substack linked up for people to read and read all of this deep dive on this whistleblower story about New Knowledge, the cybersecurity firm that created disinformation in the American election. And subscribe and check out Paul's amazing Substack as well. Paul, great to see you. Thank you so much for your insight and your great journalism.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.